This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
My name is Kerry and I'm from Lancashire. And I first started listening to the OTI podcast about 2 years ago. I've been really looking at wanting to change my daily drinking for a few years. So I binge listened to the podcast, which I thought were fantastic, and then heard about the OTI community. Really, it's been an absolute game changer. The community is just amazing. It picks you up if you're feeling a bit down. The members support you and they celebrate your wins. I really don't think I would have be where I am now if it wasn't for the OTI community. So all I can say is give it a go. What have you got to lose?
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to another episode of Over the Influence. Pray silence, I ask of thee, for the word legend is used too much these days, but it should only be reserved for a chosen few. Cristiano Ronaldo, Pablo Picasso, Mother Teresa, Scooby-Doo, but now there is another. Ladies and gentlemen, please meet the author, speaker, alcohol-free and positive mindset guru, Andy Rummy.
Hey.
Welcome, wow. Andy. I am so excited to have you here on Over the Influence. You are a personal hero of mine, as well as absolute amazing human being and 100% official legend. So we are honoured to have you on the podcast. I'm excited. Shaz is excited. It's 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning, yes. And we're full of sober energy. So here we go.
Let's do this. What an intro that is, by the way.
Funny you should say that. There's a book in my hand here, Andy, called
Let's Do This. Yes, you see what I did there. I must admit, I'm excited as well, because you're all heroes of mine. We're all a little group of heroes on the same little mission together, which I'm sure we'll explore in a second.
We've got so much to ask you, Andy. Freddie's got loads of questions. I've got loads of questions. It's just so exciting for us to have you on the podcast, because to be honest with you, Andy, if it wasn't for you, myself and Freddie, and probably Ben, we simply would not be here now, alcohol-free, about to chat to you about all things giving up booze.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? I mean, and I feel really honoured. And actually, what's lovely, you're now in the same space doing a similar thing, inspiring people. Mm. And that's genuinely what it was all about at the start. And it was that classic, imagine if we can inspire one person sort of moment. And now it's sort of just snowballed from there. But that genuinely was the initial sort of genesis of the whole thing, was that, like, I just want to give something back. And I know you've felt that tug to give something back. You don't really know where it comes from. It just sort of bubbles up a bit, doesn't it? I think it's part of the magic of the whole alcohol-free adventure. And you see it all the time, don't we? We see other people coming through, just want to share and give back. And that there's something really almost, it's so rewarding, I think, that part, when someone sends you an email or a message, which many of you would have had, and said, do you know what, thanks so much for that post, or you've inspired me, or you get some random in, you know, the street, go, oi, Andy, 23 weeks, alcohol-free. I mean, I love those things.
Andy, that is so funny you've mentioned that, because you were coming on this podcast today, this morning, and I thought, oh, hell, better get my arse out of bed. So I was on Morecambe Prom at 6 o'clock this morning, you know, getting my morning motivation in, my morning walk. And I'm not making this up now, and you three are going to think I'm off my head. I was walking down the prom and this lady said to me, Sharon, is it Shazza? And I went, yeah. 1 year no beer? And I was like, yeah. Oh, you've inspired me. Oh my God, it's great to meet you. And I'm looking around thinking, she's talking to me.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. And that, Andy, obviously, you know, what you've just said really resonates. And I think in many ways, it's because if you think back to who we were and what we used to do, and the fact that this has all changed so massively and so positively, it is really breathtaking at times.
Yeah, and again, every time and when that sort of thing happens to me, I remember actually the first time, it was really funny, I actually stepped outside my office one day and this guy was like pedaling past furiously on a bike, and then he sort of did this random sort of look to the side and sort of clocked me, and then he went, "Andy," and I just sort of jumped around. He went, "2 years, no beers," and he just carried on like on his little cycle. I just went, "That is brilliant." That was like a real sort of, yeah, you know, seminal moment. And there's been many of those scenes, and I love it. And as we all know, part of the whole adventure of this is that community piece, isn't it? It's meeting people predominantly. We've done a lot of that online, but then when you meet people in person, there's just, it's a shared experience, isn't it, of the whole alcohol-free journey that we go on, that just creates this like bond. You know what it is? It removes all the bullshit, doesn't it? That's why I think the communities are brilliant, and these podcasts and whatnot are brilliant, because when you've been through that experience, it's not about look at my wonderful holiday or look at this or that. It's like, this was really tough, but now I'm feeling better. That's what I love about it.
I think you're absolutely right there, Andy. I think it's the honesty that it brings out of people. It is that feeling that we've all been on a journey, and there's so many people that I've spoken to who have said, you know, you may see that Facebook photo of me when I'm there on the beach smiling with, you know, the cocktail in my hand and the sunset and the nice car in the background. But then they say, actually, I was miserable and I was drinking too much and I felt lost and abandoned. But when you start to share these bits of our own journey, people feel they can start to share their own. And that's why I always try and say, you know, my mess is my message. And when you start to open up and say, look, I've been through these things, then it's just so powerful that other people say, you know what, thank goodness someone else feels the same way that I feel right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's basically what it's really powerful about your stories and mine, that we're pretty sort of normal people just going through this little adventure, and then we started to share our own adventure, and people buy into that, right? Because it's real people, it's not too crafted or perfect, it's like sort of honest and raw, and people love it, you know, from your stories and Shazza in the group. That's why it just brought, you get these huge sort of followings, because people just really resonate with the realness of it. It's so refreshing to see something on social media that's going, do you know what, I'm really struggling today.
And I think as well, Andy, talking about sharing, and as Freddie said there, his mess, and mine as well, is our message, our joint message. Once you've opened up and once you've said, you know what, yes, I was drinking too much, I was drinking too quickly, and I was doing it too often, the amount of people that just step forward a little bit and put their hands up and go, you know what, me too. And it just gets those conversations going, doesn't it?
And it's funny, you would have experienced this. When you stop drinking, whenever you go out socially, I spend most of my night talking to people with a drink in their hand, telling me how much they'd love to stop drinking. It's funny, isn't it? I'm sure you experience it all the time. I'm out socially, people will just slowly gravitate towards you over the night and sort of slide up next to you and go, like, how did you do it? You know, whilst quaffing, like they're in mid-flow, if you know what I mean, in terms of their alcohol consumption, but they're interested, they're intrigued. So many people want to do it, so few people have the courage to do it, because it takes a ton of courage, doesn't it, to sort of change your identity, to go against the grain. That's what it's all about.
Andy, you know, this podcast is all about honesty, and please forgive me, I've not read your book. I'm new to the alcohol-free community. I'm just about 2 months in, just over 2 months now, to give it up.
Brilliant.
The
brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, man.
But I'd love to know, you know, what is your story? Like, you know, why did you decide, what were you like, you know, in the drinking days, and why did you decide to give it all up?
Well, I sort of, to describe what I look like Ricky Hatton, the boxer, going through his chubby phase. And if you can imagine, I look a lot different, I think, to that.
You look amazing, Andy. You're looking great.
So, I mean, I guess I'll just quickly whiz back and give you the story, because I'm making the assumption most people have heard it, but I'm sure there'll be new people that haven't heard that story. So I'll whiz back to probably 10 years ago, mid-30s, I'm 45 now, so 35, reached that place, I guess, of conventional sort of success, for want of a better word, where we're all trying to get to, or I certainly was at that stage in my life, you know, set up my family and nice things and all that sort of stuff. But I was incredibly unhappy. You know, even though I'd sort of reached that conventional nirvana, where in theory, conventional wisdom would say, da-da, I'll be perfectly happy forever, because I'd sort of got there, and I went, oh, this is a bit shit, actually. I feel a bit rubbish. I'm like 5 out of 10. This makes no sense versus what I've been told all of my life, that you earn a certain level of income and then you'll be blissfully happy. At that stage, I was 3 stone heavier than where I am now. Body fat was 35%. I was incredibly, incredibly unhealthy. Yet on the face of it, you would have looked at me, I think the average person, and gone, he's absolutely crushing it. Look at all the fabulous things he's got. He's got this big business, this sort of, you know, fantastic lifestyle in many ways. I never had social media. I never used social media. But if I had it, I'm sure it would have looked fabulous. But the truth was underneath it, or I was struggling a little bit, not in a horrific way. There was no, and I describe myself as a middle lane drinker, someone that drinks averagely, someone that drinks moderately, someone that drank not at all, and occasionally heavily, which is basically everyone on the planet that drinks, which is probably 80% of the population. And in terms of my mental well-being, it wasn't a crash and burn. In terms of my health, it wasn't a crash and burn. I was just above all of those things. I was just in that like middle malaise, let's say. And it was just in a moment of reflection, really, of what's the point? This doesn't make any sense. And I did do that classic, which saved me in many ways. I looked around the sort of city, not just in my own career, at people in similar roles, similarly successful or more successful. And I just saw a litany of disaster, broken bodies, broken minds, broken homes. I was like, what's the point? What are we all doing? This doesn't make any sense. It was a big sort of moment in my life. And I ended up resigning for that job to set up a new business. In that space, I had 9 months gardening leave, traveled all over the world, started to train with, you know, big thinkers and thought leaders, retrained, did degrees, master's degrees and all this sort of stuff, eventually in positive psychology and coaching psychology. But in the mixer of all that, I came back to set up a new business and I was going to change. I was going to meditate. I was going to eat salad and stuff. Right, everything was going to be different. And I sat down to start that new business. And the one thing, having been 9 months on this well-being adventure, right, and training and learning and reading, the one thing that never, ever came up through that whole process was alcohol. So I sat down to start the new business up. Of course, being a broker, there's all that entertaining side of it. And very quickly, everything went by the wayside. There was no consistency. I lost that trust in myself. Diet was all over the place. Exercise was all over the place. Too anxious to meditate. And it was that right then, it was finally the sort of penny drop moment of, oh, I think it might be the alcohol thing. Maybe if I remove that, that'll be the key that unlocks all the other well-being initiatives that I've just spent 9 months learning and educating myself about. And it was. It was absolutely huge for me. As soon as I removed the alcohol, got consistent in the way I was turning up in the office, consistent in the way I was training, consistent in the way that I was eating, consistent in my relationships. My eyes were bright again. You know, I had that momentum back in my life. It was absolutely game changing. But it was really hard. It was really hard. There was no role models. There was no one that I could look to or be inspired by. There were the classic role models that had crashed and burned, real big rock bottom stories. And they're amazing people, don't get me wrong. And the people that have been through that and could come back. But that wasn't me. I didn't identify that. There were no groups. There was no learning. There was nothing for me. And so in that space was me just stumbling through it as best I could, making every mistake in the book. And people will know, like, my journey to going alcohol free was about 2 years of stumbling and fumbling and getting it wrong and getting it right and learning. And the one thing that saved me on that adventure was the courage to keep coming back. That is the key component for everyone listening. You've got to just keep showing up, because you will get it wrong. You know, whenever you try and make change, you'll get it wrong. And then in that adventure, eventually I got to 28 days. It was transformational. I was talking about it this morning on a live. Waking up on a Saturday morning, my eyes were bright again. I had that mojo back. Like, the kids were on top form. Tara, my wife, was on top form. The sun was shining. It was one of those moments of, I want more of this, not just on a Saturday. I want this on a Sunday and a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday. In fact, I never want this to go away. And that gave me the courage to keep going. Because even in my own story, there was tons of social pressure in there. You know, I had people come out the woodwork and say to me, I admired in my industry, if you don't go back to drinking and entertaining clients, you're finished. That is massive social pressure right there. And it's no wonder that people find this stuff so hard to do. But only that I got that glimpse, because I did 28 days of what it was like to have my energy and my vibrancy back. That encouraged me to keep going, which became 90 days. I lost a lot of weight. All those positive effects started to come back into my life. And that was it. It was just, this is the greatest thing I've ever done. I sort of want to share this with people. I don't know how I'm going to share it with people. I then bumped into Ruri, inspired Ruri to go alcohol free. We then got together about various ideas of well-being that I had, because I had a few ideas around well-being. One, you know, beer was one of them. one of about four, and we said, do you know what, maybe people will listen to this stuff, maybe we can inspire a couple of people. And then we haven't really looked back since, and now there's this behemoth of a thing that's going on called One You Know Beer. So that was a sort of whistle stop, my story into it, I guess.
Andy, I'm really glad to hear you talk about that, because, you know, for me, this podcast is really important to show people that all sorts of people go alcohol free. I think for me, my identity before was so tied up with drinking. I was a big drinker, big partier. That was part of my identity. And I think going alcohol free, I've had to make going alcohol free part of my identity now. And not kind of shouting it from the rooftops or, oh, what a beautiful morning. Look at me. I'm not hungover. But I mean, when people come round, I make sure I tell them quite quickly, oh, by the way, I'm not drinking at the moment, just because I think I feel like I need to tell them that. But I think the thing that I've struggled with is that people immediately assume that there was therefore a problem. So you've stopped drinking because you had a you know, you were in a bad way. That's not the case. I've stopped because Freddie and Sharon inspired me to stop and give it a go. And actually my life's becoming better because of it. So it's great to hear you say that actually, you know, you weren't in a terrible place. You know, you were doing well. You were unhappy, but, you know, your mind wasn't destroyed. Your body wasn't destroyed, but that you've given it up to make your life better, not to fix.
Yeah, and that's such an important message, because that was the message that I really struggled with at the start, because, again, 6-7 years ago, it was really black and white around alcohol. You either had a problem or you didn't, and people couldn't understand why would anyone not drink that didn't have a problem. They couldn't disassociate the two. And I remember whenever I'd do an interview in those early years, the interview was a waste of time, because for the first, you know, and some of this stuff was on radio or even on TV, some big slots on TV, and you've got like 30 seconds. They couldn't get their head around the fact that I didn't have this rock bottom story. And you're trying to unwind that and go, no, 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 it's not about that. And they're going, so how much did you drink? You know, how many bottles of wine? Oh, yeah, problem. And that, all they wanted to do was put you in a box, so they didn't have to listen to what you had to say. Because once you're in a box, it's like, I was one of them. I don't need to listen now, because I'm not one of them. I don't put whiskey on my cornflakes. Why would I listen to your story? And I'm like, no, no, no. You've got to listen to my story, because my story is your story. I'm just where you were. I'm a middle-aged drinker. Tell me if you're not a middle-aged drinker. Tell me if you don't drink moderately, averagely, sometimes not at all, sometimes heavily. Everyone does. Yeah, I think it's an important thing to get the message right, that this is not about problematic drink. This is about us just trying to be better. And it's so great that you're inspired by Freddie and Sharon. That's what this is about.
Andy, I wanted to ask a bit more about the drinking in relation to success, in inverted commas, which doesn't work on a podcast, obviously, but it works on Zoom. And, you know, and I was just sort of thinking in my head as you were talking, and because I think we could all say, you know, I came from a heavy drinking industry in the city, not working exactly the same as you, Andy, but I know both. Any industry in the city is a heavy drinking one. Then I was going, well, Shazza and Ben have also come from a heavy drinking industry of like media.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, doesn't everyone actually say that? I can't think of one industry that isn't a heavy drinking. Like, you know, even like medics, I know can hit medics, it hard, especially all the stress they're under and everything.
Teaching. GPs. Yep. I mean, that's what amazed us. And when we first put we wrote a little ebook. That was the genesis of the whole One You Know Beer thing. And we put it out onto the Tinterweb, assuming that just people like brokery types were going to read it. And it wasn't at all. No brokers were reading it. It was nurses. It was GPs. It was construction workers. And we were getting the same comments all the time. My industry is awash with alcohol. So as you rightly point out, basically everything is awash with alcohol. And then we'd get the from people from different countries, like all over the world, coming in going, in China, oh, it's a nightmare in China. In Brazil, it's like this. It's basically a wash, isn't it? In every industry, in every culture, in truth. And I think that's what makes it so difficult, because you look around to your heroes and we take social cues from other people. And the truth is this, right, as well. Let's narrow it right in, the focus right in. Right now, all the people that I really know and love in my life still drink. That's the truth of it. And I'm sure it's exactly the same probably for you guys. And I think that's what makes it so hard, because you're looking around. You know, I adore my nans and my, you know, mums and dads. brothers and sisters and great mates, they'll drink. What message is that sending me constantly? Hold on, if they're all drinking, why am I not drinking? Do you know what I mean? So that, I think that's in the mixer of why this thing is so difficult to unwind. But when you do, the rewards, as we know, when you get on the fun side of the island, are just so mahoosif that you're never going to want to go back. And it doesn't matter now. And that's an important part of this whole alcohol-free adventure, is to get to that place where you know firsthand, you've had that visceral experience of, I feel bloody amazing, right? All this stuff's happening. It doesn't matter anymore that all of my social clues are telling me I should drink, because I know for a fact how good I feel. Therefore, I'm going to keep going. And I think that makes it so hard for so many people to get to that point, because they're always feeling like, I've got to go back. I've got to go back to where everyone else is, because they're all drinking. And it's in the mixer of why this is so difficult and why our messaging is so important.
I love that analogy, Andy, of it being an island and like you're on the... I'm going to get a bit visual now. You're on the one shore where there's like skeletons and shipwrecks and the beach is horrible with seaweeds, and that's like the Hangover beach.
South
and
End.
You've got to fight through this. Yeah. Hello to our listeners. There,
South End, yes. I love South End. It's just very cool.
Yeah. And you've got to get through this jungle that's scary and dark, and you can't quite see the path sometimes. And on many occasions, you're thinking, oh, you know what, I'm just going to go back to that beach because it's only back there. But if you can get through that jungle and that difficult path, then on the other side, that sober island, like, you took it, you're talking five-star resort there, aren't you?
Yeah.
I was going to say all-inclusive, but that kind of undoes the whole thing. But, like, you know, in terms of, like, the beautiful beach and the sunrise and how much more can I get out of this metaphor? But you know what I mean, in terms of you've got to go through that difficult journey, but then the destination is so, so worth it.
It is over there. And you mentioned all-inclusive. It's actually quite funny. It cracks me up. I've been on a couple of all-inclusive holidays. And when you go on an all-inclusive holiday and you don't drink, it freaks all the waiters out. They're like, oh, no, sorry.
It is bizarre.
What are you having to drink? And I'm like, just a sparkling water. And they'll sort of do a double take and come back and go, okay, now what would you like to really drink? I'm like, just a sparkling water. They're like, oh, I don't know. They've like literally got their manual out. I don't know how to process this. This is a British man in an all-inclusive and he's only drinking sparkling water. It's like, whoop, whoop, almost sirens going off. They can't get their head around it.
I was going to pick up on what you said then, Andy, about alcohol being absolutely everywhere. We've talked about it being in the industries that we've all worked in the city, in the media. You know, you could go to the opening of an envelope for a radio station and it'd be shots this and free drinks this and free drinks that. Aside from that, as a woman, as a mum, it's at every turn in life, full stop.
Yeah.
You know, you go and buy a friend a birthday card and you can guarantee it's got a bottle of bubbly on the front. You go and buy a gift for somebody, guarantee it's all alcohol related. It's just saturated. And at first, it is terrifying. I know there's people listening to this now that are thinking, I want to be where they are. How the flipping heck, and I say that politely, do you navigate this world where at every turn there is alcohol, and then the minute you announce, you know what, I'm just going to have a break from this, people lose their minds. And it can be quite a lonely path, can't it? But as you said, Andy, just keep showing up, just keep doing it, because with Freddie's analogy, when you do get to that five-star resort and you do get to that beach, it is something else.
Yeah, and I think this is the key part, right? And this is, I think, our jobs to try and inspire people long enough to basically make it over to the fun side of the island. Because once they're over there, they've figured it out, right? You know, as I said before, it's all done. Because it's really difficult to get there, as you said, at every turn, And I think there's that whole pressure from friends. And we all know this, and I'm sure you've discussed it many times, that people don't like other people shining a light on them. And it just,
yeah,
when you're out there, and you're being a bit of a beacon of change and you're going, do you know what, I'm getting great results from this. And you look great, right? Because that's what starts to happen. You know, your skin, your eyes, your hair, sober hair, it's a real thing.
Sober hair, it's a thing.
It's a real thing. Yeah,
I think my sober hair's going
apart
the
from
way.
Freddy's.
It's running away from me.
But people don't like that. It makes them uncomfortable. People are uncomfortable with change. Change is incredibly difficult. And change around alcohol, I think, is probably, if not the hardest of them all. And I think you touched on this earlier. It's that identity piece as well, isn't it? You know, it's like, am I not going to be fun time 4 pints Andy anymore? What's going to happen? He's going to like disappear off the face of the earth. That person that everyone loves and knows and, you know, wants to be pals with. Where's he going to go? I mean, that in itself is terrifying. They're the type of things that keep us trapped because we're sort of scared to actually be vulnerable and see what's underneath. What's the real Andy look like? What's the real Freddie look like? Shazza look like? And I think that's one of the greatest discoveries you'll ever make, is to actually get under there, find out who you really are, and then get comfortable back in the world as you. Because then you're like, you are unstoppable. And we all know that, right? If you can go out, be social, deal with stress, deal with heartache, be on it as you, like the real version of you, not some, again, sort of plastic fake version of you that's just out there to be extrovert because you've drunk too much alcohol, whatever. There's something really powerful about that. It's really empowering about that. But again, not to underestimate, it's incredibly hard, this whole thing. It's not just a case of just the not drinking thing. In fact, I think that the component bit, like the physically not drinking the alcohol thing, is the sort of easy part of it. It's the huge psychological ramifications that come with that, all those social ramifications, all those like fear ramifications around your own identity that make this difficult. That's why it's so important to have role models that look like you, and you can go, oh, look, they did it, and look at the results they're getting. That's what's really important, I think.
I think it's interesting, Andy, as well. I totally agree with that. And we talk about a few drivers like fear, stress, change. And if we look around the world right now, it would be quite easy to say there is quite a lot of fear, stress and change going on in our everyday lives with the whole corona crisis and pandemic day 5000 and whatever it is. And I think this is a really interesting time, and we've touched on this, where right now there are so many excuses to drink because, yeah, you've got work, kids in school, lockdowns, isolation. It would be so easy for all of us to say, you know what, I'm just a bit scared right now. I'm just going to have a drink to calm my nerves a bit. But if you flip that and you say, if I can get through this corona crisis without a drink, then I can take anything on then. I can be like a sober Superman. I can be unstoppable. And it's just having that change in mindset, as in, I can overcome this. I don't have to let this also drive me to drink.
And this is why that the alcohol experience or alcohol-free experience is way bigger than just not drinking. It's way bigger than that. And, you know, and this is an important message, I think, as well. Because when you do exactly that, you overcome, you know, the big stressful moment in your life. Maybe you go to a funeral, right? Bereavement has been all around us through this period. Maybe it's job loss. Maybe it's these, like, right, life is shit at times. There's no getting away from that. It doesn't matter whether you drink or not drink. But when you go through those periods, alcohol-free, so you're dealing with it all head on, right? You're not like blotting it out or running away from it. You're like dealing with it. And actually you deal with it in a really proactive, cognitive way with all of your strengths and all your resources. And people around you are falling all over the place, right? Because you see it, because they're going to the old well-worn route of just trying to blot it out. And you come through an experience like that. It's way bigger than just taking a break from alcohol. They're the things that actually carve you out and reshape you as a person going forward. And I think that's why we end up with these massive transformations. It's not just the alcohol piece. That is the key component that allows people to really like interact with the world again and go through some of these massive hurdles, come out the other side more resilient and stronger. And then they make one transformation after the next, and then you look at them or you meet them 2 or 3 years down the line, and they're completely different people. They're radiant, they're energized, they're just a million miles away from they were because they had that initial courage, like you said, to deal with things in their life without that well-worn route of, I'm just going to blot it out with booze because it's another excuse to do so. You know, I think that changes the whole thing completely.
It is amazing, I've found. I mean, I'm only just over 2 months, but the first month was really difficult. I was thinking about it all the time. You'd tell someone that you're going alcohol free and they'd go, oh, I could never do that. And then it makes you leave the conversation and think, well, does that mean that I couldn't do that either? Or, like, you know, just little things like we're watching, me and my girlfriend love trash TV. So we're currently watching Married at First Sight Australia, which is probably the trashiest of trash TV. But they went on dates, and then one of them had a really good date and came back and they're sitting on the balcony after like this really active day and went, you know, cracked open the wine. Oh, I needed this. Then it was someone who had a really bad date, come back and gone, oh God, cracked open the wine. I needed this. Like, you just literally see it everywhere in the first month. But it is amazing how there is this, like, it felt like one day for me where I've committed to 3 months and I've said I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do after the 3 months yet, but I do already feel like I'm going to carry on with it. It is almost like a switch, isn't it? You just wake up and go, oh, hang on, I've lost weight. I'm not sure about the sober hair. I'm not sure if I've seen that yet.
Stick with it, Ben.
But, you know, I've started to see the benefits now. So it's kind of already, even just after 2 months, I've gone, but why would I go back? Business is better. My health's better. my girlfriend likes me more. Like, why would I? It is amazing, isn't it, how that switch just flicks?
Yeah, and I think most people, the truth is, when they come to this, have that vision of going back. In truth, I think it's a huge percentage think, I'm going to take a break, see how I get on. But ultimately, what I want to do is get that full control back where I can, you know, take or leave it dream. This is a massive conversation that comes up all the time because I feel most people, they almost need to have that belief to get started. If it's a forever thing out the traps, it's like, well, that's way too much.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the shorter sort of challenges are great just to dip people's toe into the water and that sense of, do you know, I can do this for a period of time and then go back if I want. You know, it doesn't have to be a forever thing, but the secret sauce in that is that once you've had that firsthand experience, exactly as you described, it's a bit like, but why would I go back? You know, what's the point in going back? Or if you do end up going back and, you know, attempting moderation, which is something that I really don't like, but it is possible, it's incredibly hard. And then you find out you end up exactly where you were before, at least you've been, as we described earlier, on the fun side of the island. You know what it's like. So you now, for the first time ever, know what's waiting for you once you've hacked through all those bushes, as it were. You know what's on the fun side of the island, so you're much quicker to come back. So it's the sort of ultimate win. The key for us and our mission is to, I think, inspire people to take a break for long enough to get over to the fun side of the island, have a little look, see what they want to do, and maybe they go back, but they always know then what it's like. And I think that draws people back to the point where they go, why would I go back? You know, as you said, like, skin's better, relationship's better, health's better, business is better. What's the point?
Hi, this is Ben from Over the Influence, and I just wanted to take this opportunity in the middle of another fabulous episode of Over the Influence to tell you that I'd really like to meet you face to face. Well, Zoom to Zoom, because every week I host two Zoom calls with members from our fabulous community where we chat about anything and everything, from what we thought about this week's Over the Influence episode to celebrating someone in the community who's just hit a milestone. If you're listening to this on a Monday when it comes out, then we could be chatting tomorrow. I do Zooms every Tuesday morning and Wednesday lunchtime, same time every week. And if you're listening later in the week, then you could be meeting Shaz on Friday night. Or if you're an early bird, you can join her first thing Saturday morning Zoom with lots of other fresh, sober faces. Basically, we're doing these things all throughout the week because we love meeting you and hearing about how you're finding sobriety. So, if you'd like to meet us on Zoom and tell us your story, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk and sign up as an OTI community member now. Of course, by becoming an OTI community member, you're not just getting loads of stuff to help you with your own sobriety, like the Zoom calls, the forums, OTI chat, OTI on the go, the masterclasses, and all the other great things that you get as part of your membership. You're also supporting us and our mission here Over the Influence, which is to encourage as many people as we can to try giving up alcohol by singing about the joys of sobriety from the rooftop. So if you're thinking of joining us, thank you. If you do join us, even bigger thank you. Look, it's great. Give it a try. And I can't wait to meet you on Zoom.
You do the one thing of removing alcohol. So you think, okay, I'm going to become that person that doesn't drink. And you were talking there about how you change as a person. And for me, it's been terrifying. If you'd have told me 2 years ago, Sharon, you won't be drinking, you'll be back in radio as a confident broadcaster, you'll get through the loss of a family business that floored the family and yourself. God, everything else is, I'd have laughed, Andy, I'd have laughed and I'd have poured another massive glass of wine in the hope it all just went away. But when you've done that small thing, which is actually massive, of removing alcohol, everything changes and you become a person. But it's you stripped back underneath it all. And every episode, me and Freddie go, whoa, this is me. And that's it, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, and I think people are really scared of that because we put this cladding on ourselves to get through life. It sort of protects us. And then all of a sudden, like, we're just peeling off a big layer of that by removing alcohol. And that's what's, I think, really scary about it. It's like vulnerable. And there is that fear that we're going to change as a person. And all those classic fears pop up, you know, will, you know, mine, you know, I joke about it all the time, was that would my wife leave me? Would she just think, oh, he's boring now, what's the point, and run off with the really exciting postman? Although she's banned me from saying that because she's convinced sooner or later I was going to say something on a big enough platform and the postman was going to listen to it and think, oh,
morning, Tara.
He'd be walking up the driveway.
Here we go.
And that's so interesting, Andrew. And that's why I think we try and say how it really is, not how, you know, the Hollywood version, because there's the cliche is, yeah, I need to drink to save my marriage and all that kind of thing that so many people have seen before. But actually, the truth, I've spoken to quite a few people saying just that. It's like, I'm worried that by stopping drinking, my relationship might fall apart, and that either might be because I change as a person, or because, say, my partner doesn't think I'm fun anymore, or we don't have as much in common anymore. And it is, I think, a real fear that some people have.
Oh, yeah, completely. And they're the ones that, these are like limiting beliefs that hold us back. And this is another important part about this whole alcohol-free adventure. When you overcome a few of those, you go, oh, that was a limiting belief. I've just completely crushed that. That just was not true. And that they were the ones for me. It was like, would my friends disown me? Would my wife leave me? Am I going to be fun anymore? All of those type of things. And then you come out the other side and go, my relationship with Tara's a squillion times better than it's ever been since I stopped drinking. And with my best friends, you know, it was this time last year, funny enough, one of my greatest moments with my best friend, Lenny, who we, you know, grew up together, drinking together. It's what we did, right? Thick as thieves, always out, the sort of party boys, as it were. I stopped drinking. And I really worried that our relationship might just fizzle out, right? Because it felt like our common bond. And it did wobble at the start, to be fair. He, of the classic line, said to me on my 40th, when I said I wasn't drinking, he went, that's fine. See the corner over there? That's called the boring corner. And you can come out when you start drinking again, right? And he said it in jest, right? Because that's sort of what mates do at those early stages. But now he's like my biggest fan and biggest supporter. And again, a year ago, I was at a wedding. It was 2 o'clock in the morning with Lenny. He'd been drinking all through the wedding. I hadn't touched a drop, just been on the dance floor. We hadn't stopped laughing all night. And he paused. This was like the 2 a.m. proper Irish wedding, and went, I think this is one of our best nights ever. This is absolutely brilliant. And that was a massive moment for me. There I was, right? 6 years having stopped drinking at a classic bastion of alcohol, an Irish wedding. Not drinking with my best mate who had been drinking the whole day. And guess what? The next morning when I woke up, guess where I was? Up and on it. Guess where 99% of the other people were? In pieces. That's
amazing. The difference.
And that overcomes, you think of that balance, and there's that, you know, the on one side you've got that, oh, am I missing an extra 5% of fun, as it was, even though we know it isn't real fun, versus that feeling you get, that we all got this morning, that you get on a Sunday morning after a wedding. Like, and again, 2 years ago, I would have never believed I'd be saying something like this, because I'd still be in bed right now. But that feeling on a bright Saturday morning like we have now, or on a Sunday after a wedding, you seriously cannot beat it.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you all the way. And they're the big moments. And I always say this to people, like, it's a classic case, isn't it, when everyone's looking at this alcohol challenge. They look at it, or they're starting their alcohol-free adventure. First thing they do, get out the diary, and they go, can't do it. I've got a 40th. Oh, and look, we've got the wedding. Oh, and then we're going on holiday. And then, like, and they literally just, like, span. It's the whole year's gone. So my approach to that is, no, you're misunderstanding it. Those big events, they're the events that make the whole adventure, like, sing in many ways. When you do your first wedding alcohol-free and you get through it and quite enjoy it, and maybe you do a bit of sober dancing, as I've been known to do in the past, those things are massive when you wake up the following day. They're the things that actually transform the whole experience. So rather than those big occasions being the reason to put it off, they're the reason to start. Start your adventure now and actually take those on whilst alcohol-free. Why would you wait another second to get your time back, your energy back, your mojo back, your oomph for life back, that brightness in your eyes back? Like, why would you wait for that? Why would you put that off like another millisecond? Start right now.
In the spirit of kind of representing everyone, it's great to hear what you guys are all saying about, you know, there isn't a right time, do it now. And, you know, why would you wait, and the benefits? I've got to say, for me, if coronavirus hadn't cleared the diary, I don't think that I would be feeling as positive about it as I do now. Like, honestly, I needed a bit of time where I didn't have any big social events on, to really get into it myself, kind of build it into my routines at home. I was terrified. I was best man at a wedding, so stag do, then wedding. My brother was turning 30. There was lots of things in the diary where I thought, you know what? If I don't have a run-up to this, if I don't get in the mindset before these things, I won't be able to get through them. And I've got to say, I am a bit terrified of that first wedding. I do feel really good, but I am a bit nervous about the first big event. What do you think about that? Like, obviously, you're all big advocates for don't worry about what's in there, but you know, for me, I needed to know that my diary was clear. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it.
You're dead right. I think it's unique to everyone, but I think if you feel like you need that run-up, I think the point is, don't wait to start, but I think if you can clear the path as best you can, if you're, you know, it does give you that bit of momentum. If you can get that first few weeks under your belt without any of those obvious things in the way. But equally, it's so easy to use that as a bit of an excuse not to get started. As I said, there's basically always something in there. It's quite rare. And again, you're right. And that's actually a really good observation. It might be that actually the corona situation has quelled a lot of people's social life, especially in the workplace. You know, that has just disappeared, right? Because most people are working from home. It's probably a fantastic time to actually get a period of being alcohol-free without those added pressures of works, drinks, and you know, birthdays and all that sort of stuff. So I totally agree. I think it's a mixture of both. Don't use it as a reason to put it off, but equally exactly that. If you feel you need a bit of extra space to gain a bit of like momentum, try and clear the diary if that, you know, works best for you. I think it's a sort of balance between the two, really. And I think we have to own the fact that things are going to change. And what we gain, which is way more then we lose, you actually start to look at some of those occasions and realise the only reason they appear to be remotely enjoyable is because everyone's absolutely carted. So if you remove the alcohol, it's like we're running around like some city at 2 a.m. You know, everyone's falling about. It's just not enjoyable. So I think as well, we have to own the fact that things are going to change. And it's not about, my social life's going to be absolutely amazing. I'm going to go to nightclubs and think it's amazing.
The amount of nights out I've been on where the thought process is, this will get good once we're a bit drunk, is ridiculous.
and it feeds the greatest cultural lie in the history of lies, right? And this is it, right? And I'm sure all of you have experienced this. You wake up the next day feeling like absolute death, right? You cannot barely move. And everyone, when they can just about pick their phone up, sends a little message to everyone else going, great night, wasn't it? And they go, yeah, great night. Like, when I was drinking, I never had a bad night. Every night was a great night. And why? Because we have to reinforce our own BS around the situation to justify the pain that we're in and the misery that we've just caused ourselves, that it must have been such a brilliant night. Otherwise, why would we ever put ourselves through this? So everyone just jumps in on the same sort of cultural lie. Brilliant night. Oh, amazing. Can't even remember most of it. You know, someone got into a bit of trouble, or you've upset your partner, or you've been sick on your shit. Brilliant night, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Can't wait to do that again. And you're all like curled up in bed, can't face the weekend. What a load of rubbish. And you can only see it, you know, when you've stepped onto the fun side of the island. I'll say that much.
So Andy, obviously the whole alcohol-free is a huge part of everything you do, and you're a huge voice and expert in this field, but I know you spread your breadth wider as such, you know, in terms of like mindset. You've got a master's in positive psychology, is that right?
Yep.
And then I had a question really around your tips for a positive mindset, because I think at the moment there's a lot of people out there who may be going through a tough time, or you get that phone call and says, unfortunately, you've lost your job because of the whole corona crisis, or you know, maybe you've unfortunately had a loved one that's really ill. What would you say are your quick tips for getting back into that positive mindset if something has unexpectedly happened in your life?
Yes, there's a few things. I think self-care is really important. And I think the first thing that often goes out the window when we face really stressful, busy times is that we don't look after ourselves as well as we should. For example, most people drink too much alcohol. We're different to that, right? So I think many people listening to this might have ticked that box, which is a brilliant place to start. Treat yourself with kindness and compassion. Optimize sleep. Like these are, it's just like go back to the most basic things that you can possibly do. Try and sleep as well as you can. Like really prioritize sleep. Take a break from alcohol. Try and pause and rest and recover. And in that space, I think gratitude is a really important piece. No matter what's going on in our lives, and even there can be some really horrendous and horrific stuff, for most of us very, very fortunate ones, there's always something to feel grateful for. And there's so much research, you know, for the world of positive psychology. We know it anyway, but around that gratitude piece, many of the people keep a gratitude diary or journal, three things you're grateful for. These things are super powered positivity boosters in amongst, you know, stress. I think it's do the basics, rest, recover, find quiet time if you can, optimize your sleep, take a break from alcohol, connect with others. Really important, I think, to spend time with people that you love and know. So it's like not some sort of fancy technique. It's like just do the basics. Go right back to the back. But make sure you do them, because they're the things that make the difference that often get pushed out the window. No time to connect with other people. I'm not sleeping because obviously there's a lot on my mind. I'm not exercising. Diet, nutrition goes out the window. Drink too much alcohol. The whole thing comes crashing in. I think if you can do those basics, even though, you know, there's a lot of pressure on and stress around, they're the things that will help you get through, I think, with a positive mindset.
Andy, that was flipping brilliant. I'm not sure. We could probably talk to you for another 4 hours, but we need to wrap this up. And it just... I think everything we've talked about there, yes, alcohol, being going alcohol-free is the key, but it opens up so many other conversations, doesn't it? And so many other topics that you've talked about today. So thank you so much for your time. You're an absolute inspiration. I'll say it again. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here doing this now on this podcast. So thank you for that. Thank you for the continued inspiration. Just remind us, Andy, where people can find out more about you, your books and the stuff you do, particularly those walks in the woods you do very early in the morning.
Yeah, and thank you for that lovely outro. I feel very honoured and blessed as you're doing such brilliant work yourself now, and I love being a part of it. Yeah, regards to that, I still do the live stuff. I love it. That sort of was born out of one, you know, beer of me again going to the woods and turning on the phone. I never thought it was going to end up like that, but I love it. So every day I'm live, 7:45 a.m. on Andy Ramage official Instagram, Facebook, and then andyramage.com, www.andyramage.com. You have to do the www. I haven't fixed that yet. You can sort of get loads more information. But basically, every day I'm live, cheering people on, this sort of stuff. It makes a difference. I love connecting with people. So yeah, if you want to catch up with me at any point or be inspired, hopefully go to Andy Ramage official Instagram, Facebook.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Andy.
Yeah, thanks, team. That's wonderful.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Over the Influence. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And if you did enjoy it, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a rating and a review with your podcast provider, it would be much appreciated. Thank you so much. I just wanted to quickly share with you as well just one aspect of our online community. There are all sorts included within your membership. We've got forums, we have got masterclasses that happen. You get the premium podcast included as part of your membership. But one of the key features within the platform is the OTI chat. This is a bit like WhatsApp, except you don't have to give any personal contact details. You can contact other members that might be on the same day count as you. You might lead quite similar lives. You might find yourself connecting with people that you've never considered connecting with before. But the one thing you've all got in common is that you are trying to change your relationship with alcohol. It's a fantastic place. It's all about support, connection, and motivation. You can find out more about what we do at overtheinfluence.co.uk or drop us an email. Any questions at all, we are here to help. OTIHQ@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Thank you so much. There'll be more next week.